Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're going back to the 12th century.
Okay.
But get this, we're not like diving into some dusty old manuscript. We're actually looking at a biography
Okay.
that links a medieval duke to, wait for it,
Okay.
David Lynch.
Okay, you definitely have my attention.
Yep.
We're talking William the X, Duke of Aquitaine, right?
Right.
Not exactly the first name that comes to mind when you think like Lynchian inspiration.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this deep dive so fascinating. The source we're looking at, it's potentially titled Exiles Cold Aquitaine Road Incel Toll.
Okay.
Paints William the Next as this like larger than life figure. Duke at 15, infamous for challenging the church, and apparently a dreamer of like cryptic prophecies.
Prophecies. This is getting interesting.
All right.
All right, for those who might not know their medieval history as well,
Right.
let's start with the basics. Who was this William the Ninth? What
Yeah.
made him such a standout figure?
Well, imagine a young duke, right? Inheriting this massive duchy in what is now France. And instead of behaving like a proper ruler, he's more into writing like scandalous poetry and wooing women.
And let's not forget, this was the time when the church held immense power
Oh, yeah.
for a duke to openly defy them. That was a huge deal. Not
Huge.
just a personal rebellion, but a potential shift.
His music, it wasn't just about entertainment. It was a reflection, really, I think, of the changing times,
Yeah.
a challenge to the established order.
Exactly. He embraced Occitan, the language of the people, for his poetry and music.
Wow.
This was a huge departure from like the stuffy Latin used in church hymns and official documents. It was a way of connecting with a broader audience, almost like choosing to sing in the language of the streets instead of the court.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And those lyrics, he was a troubadour, which, you know, for those unfamiliar with the term, think of it as this dynamic new form of music and poetry
Yeah.
full of romance, chivalry, and
Right.
sometimes, you know, pretty steamy stuff.
It was a way for William the X to express emotions and desires that were rarely discussed openly,
Yeah.
especially in the context of courtly life.
Yeah.
And remember, this is the 12th century, so
Oh, yeah.
songs about juggling lovers would definitely turn some heads.
Oh, definitely. Speaking of turning heads, his behavior didn't exactly win him any popularity contests with the church.
No.
He was excommunicated not once, but twice.
Which was a much bigger deal back then. Imagine being cut off from the church, from religious and social life.
Right.
It was a powerful form of punishment,
Totally.
both spiritually and socially.
So, what exactly landed him in such hot water with the church? Was it just the racy poetry?
It was more than just the poetry. He refused to pay church taxes, had a very public affair with a Viscountess Dangerviews,
Wow.
and generally seemed to delight in thumbing his nose at religious authorities.
Viscountess Dangerous, that name just screams scandal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But honestly, good for him for sticking to his guns, even when facing those kinds of consequences.
Well, those consequences eventually caught up to him.
Yeah.
He was forced into exile and decided to embark on a pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela. Imagine, stripped of his dukedom, facing public shame, making a grueling journey for redemption.
Yeah, talk about a fall from grace. It wasn't just a physical journey, though, was it?
Yeah.
More like a crash course in self-reflection.
Exactly. Imagine this, like once powerful duke,
Yeah.
used to the comforts and trappings of courtly life,
Right.
suddenly forced to confront his choices and their consequences. The pilgrimage becomes a journey into his own soul, a space for confronting his past and contemplating his future.
And it's during this pilgrimage that things take a turn for the strange, right?
Right.
He has this like vivid dream, a divine encounter that sets him on a whole new path.
Now, the source describes it as a dream, a vision. Let's not jump to any conclusions just yet.
Okay.
But it's here where the story takes on a mystical quality.
Right.
He encounters a figure he believes to be God, who delivers a prophecy.
And this prophecy, it's not your typical, like, you will be blessed with many children kind of prophecy.
Okay.
This one involves a descendant named David and something called the Noel equation.
It's a fascinating detail
Yeah.
and one that requires a bit of unpacking.
Yeah.
But first, let's delve deeper into the possible interpretations of this dream.
Okay.
Was it a genuine divine message,
Right.
a delusion brought on by the hardships of exile,
Right.
or something else entirely?
And we're back, still kind of reeling from that prophecy cliffhanger.
Yeah.
We left William the X grappling with this vision,
Right.
a potential message from like the divine, right in the middle of his exile.
So
Right.
what happens next? Does he return to Aquitaine a changed man?
Well, according to the biography, something does shift in William the Next after this pilgrimage. He returns and reconciles with the church, at least officially.
Okay.
And seems to take his responsibilities as Duke more seriously.
So all those years of rebellion, the scandalous poetry, the excommunication drama.
Right.
It all just fades away.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound very William the Next, does it?
Right. It's almost too neat.
Yeah.
Too easy. And that's what makes this part of his life so intriguing. You know, was this like a true change of heart?
Yeah.
Or was it a calculated move to appease those who wanted him gone?
Right.
Remember, this is a man who knows how to play the game.
Okay. So maybe he learned a thing or two about strategy during his time in the political wilderness, mm-hmm. right?
But the biography does mention some like actual reforms he implemented, right?
It does.
Courts of justice, changes to the tax system.
Yeah.
Things that actually would have benefited the people he was ruling.
Exactly. It's a complex picture.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you have this sense of a man who has undergone a profound experience, maybe even a spiritual awakening.
Right.
And on the other, you still see the shrewd politician
right.
making calculated moves to solidify his position.
So which is it? Was he a changed man?
Right.
Or just a more like strategic ruler?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe there's no easy answer.
Right.
Perhaps it was a bit of both. Maybe the exile, the pilgrimage, that strange dream, all of it forced him to confront some hard truths about himself
and
the burden of leadership.
It's a question that resonates even today, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
How much of who we are is shaped by our experiences? Can we truly change, like, our core selves?
Right.
Or are we always shaped by our past?
Yeah, it's the age-old debate of nature versus nurture.
Right, yeah.
And William Knox's life becomes this fascinating case study.
Yeah.
You know? He doesn't neatly fit into a box.
Yeah.
He contains multitudes, just like, you know, any historical figure.
And just like the people listening right now,
exactly.
That we're all full of contradictions.
Sure.
Capable of great change and stubborn persistence. But let's circle back to that prophecy. We've got this descendant named David.
Right.
And a mysterious Noel equation. Where does David Lynch fit into all of this?
Well, here's where the biography takes a turn into a more speculative realm. It draws these parallels between William the X and David Lynch.
Okay.
Suggesting that the prophecy might hold, like, a key to understanding their connection.
Okay, I'm intrigued, but I need some more dots connected.
Sure.
What are the parallels?
Both were artists challenging societal norms. Both grappled with the darker aspects of human nature.
Okay.
Exploring themes of love, loss, and the subconscious in their work.
Right.
They both, in their own ways, forced people to confront uncomfortable truths about themselves and the world around them.
Okay, yeah, I'm seeing it now. Lynch's films are known for their surrealism, right?
Right.
Those, like, dreamlike sequences, the blurring of reality.
Yeah.
It does kind of resonate with the mystical experiences that William the X had.
Absolutely. And the biography suggests that this Noel equation, mentioned in the prophecy, it might be the key to understanding the link between their seemingly disparate worlds.
Right, you've successfully piqued my curiosity. What exactly is the Noel equation? Do we need to, like, break out the whiteboards and start, like, sketching mathematical formulas?
Not quite. The source describes it as more of a concept than a literal equation.
Okay.
A mathematical mantra that challenges the very foundations of human thought.
Wow.
Yeah, it's about understanding the interconnectedness of seemingly unrelated events, how the past, present, and future are all intertwined.
Okay, so not your typical equation then, more like a philosophical framework.
Yeah.
Maybe even like a way of interpreting history and human experience.
Exactly. It's about looking for those hidden connections, those ripples in time that link us all.
Yeah, and here's the truly fascinating part, right?
Yeah.
The biography claims that David Lynch has been exploring this Noel equation in his work.
It does.
Hold on. So we're going from a medieval prophecy to a 21st century filmmaker potentially unraveling the mysteries of time and consciousness. This is where things get really interesting.
Yeah, it's a big concept.
But we're going to have to take another quick break.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere because we're diving deeper into the Noel equation and its like mind-bending implications when we return for the final part of this deep dive. Stay tuned. And we're back for the final part of our William Noel X deep dive. I gotta say, that Noel equation has really captured my imagination. We've gone from like medieval poetry to potential like time-bending equations. What a ride.
It's a fascinating concept, isn't it? This idea that, like, seemingly disparate events, people separated by centuries, might be connected in ways we can barely grasp.
So let's talk about this Noel equation a bit more. It's like, it's not a literal equation, right?
Right.
It sounds more like a way of viewing the world,
Yeah.
a framework for understanding those connections you mentioned.
Exactly, yeah. The source describes it as a mathematical mantra, but I think it's more helpful to think of it as a metaphor. Imagine like a tapestry, right?
Okay.
Woven with countless threads representing different lives, choices, moments in history.
Right.
The Noel equation is like a lens that helps us see how those threads intersect, how patterns emerge from what might seem like chaos.
Okay, I like that analogy. So William the X's exile, his mystical experiences, even his like scandalous poetry, these are all threads in this grand tapestry.
Yeah.
And then centuries later, we have David Lynch, a filmmaker known for exploring like the subconscious, the surreal, the very fabric of reality.
And according to this biography, Lynch's work might be a reflection of the Noel equation in action. It suggests that his films aren't just stories,
Right.
but explorations of how time, consciousness, and choice all interact to shape our reality.
So those like dream sequences in Twin Peaks, the shifting timelines in Mulholland Drive, those could be glimpses into the Noel equation at work.
It's a fascinating interpretation, isn't it? The
It is.
biography doesn't give us definitive answers,
Right.
and I think that's part of its appeal. It's encouraging us to look at Lynch's work through this new lens, to consider the possibility that his films are grappling with these, like, very big ideas about the nature of reality.
It reminds me of that quote by Murakami, "The world is not a novel, but it's certainly full of things that, if they were written down, would be considered too unbelievable for fiction."
Exactly. And perhaps William the Next, through his experiences, stumbled upon a truth about the world,
Yeah.
a truth that echoed through time and found expression in Lynch's art.
So how do we make sense of all of this? The prophecy, the Noel equation, the connection between a medieval duke and a modern filmmaker?
Right.
It's a lot to process.
It is, and I think that's the beauty of it, right?
Yeah.
This deep dive is taking us on a journey through history, philosophy, and even a bit of metaphysics.
Yeah.
It's encouraged us to question our assumptions, to look for connections in unexpected places.
It's like a reminder that there's always more to discover, more layers to peel back, whether we're talking about, history, art, or even our own lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like the most important takeaway from all of this, the Noel equation, whether we interpret it as like a literal concept or a metaphorical framework,
Right.
it challenges us to consider the interconnectedness of like everything.
Hmm.
It's a call to pay attention to the patterns, to find meaning in the seemingly random events that shape our lives and the world around
It
us.
really makes you think about things in a new way.
It does. Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. Thank you so much for joining us on this exploration of William the X, the Noel equation, and the intriguing connections to David Lynch. It's been a pleasure.
We'll be back soon with another deep dive into history's most fascinating figures and ideas. Until then, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those minds open.